Let's put our hands up, say this together, our Father.
In the name of Jesus.
We have some received
revelation that is found in the written word.
As we proceed,
we behold Jesus as he sees us in himself. He's glorified, we stand edified. Hallelujah. Amen. Act of Apostles chapter number 2. Act of Apostles chapter number 2. This is Believer's Convention. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 4, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat on each of them. Hallelujah. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. First of all, remember we had said prior to this time they were already born again. They didn't get born again in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Right? We said they got born again when Jesus explained the scriptures to them in Luke 24. Right? So, when Jesus was done explaining the scriptures to them, he left them with a closing remark. And that of Mark becomes alive. He says, "This sign shall follow them that believe." He said, "In my name they will cast out demons." Right? He said, "They will speak with new tongues." Did you hear that? Glory to God. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he said to them, let's look at Luke 24, verse 49. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Luke 24, verse 49. He said, "I send the promise of my Father upon you." He said, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem." He said, "See, you'll be endued with power from on high." Hallelujah. "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high." And we say that word to endure, to be endured, is on the Greek word enduro, which means to take, to put on, rather. Hallelujah. And we say in the epistles, Paul will say, we have put on Christ. The way you put on a cloth, he said, you should put on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. He said, "See, you be endued with power from on high." I will say the on high is not from this cloud. It's not from the cloud. It's not from the skies. The on high will be in you. Right? That's what Christ is what we've been looking at. The on high will be in you. Because he says, "You are seated on high in him." Glory to God. So the on high will be where Christ dwells. And where does Christ dwell? In you. So when he says you put on, so the putting on will be your ability, right? It will be your decision. Hallelujah. So we can say in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, they put on, they were endued with power from on high. They put on power. And moreover, we saw that power is not coming from the skies. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 19. Let's look at Ephesians 3 19. We looked at it the first day. Ephesians 3:19. It says, "To know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us." Is it in the clouds? In us. Meaning that power they were to put on in Luke 24 was in them. So the on high will be in them. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if we would now say in Luke, Acts of Apostles chapter 2, they put on that power, right? Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. He said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Now that word comes again, the word upon. The word upon. Now that word upon is actually the is not that word upon means a demonstration, right? Was that what we said? So let's increase the narrative. Wherever you find the word upon, you always find utterance. So that word upon means utterance. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah. So when he says, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. When he said the Holy Ghost is come upon you, he is not saying the Holy Ghost is going to come from Sambisa. Or it's going to come from US, or from one country, or from one nation, or from one cloud to you. No. No. He says, he uses the word you will receive power. That word receive is the word lambano in the Greek. That word receive implies to take of what belongs to you. Hallelujah. So, when he uses the word you shall receive, that word means to take to you, to take of what is yours for use. Are you listening to me? So when he says you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, saying you receive that power that is inherent to you. He says after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that word upon becomes very important for us to look at. Hallelujah. Look at that Act of Apostles chapter 2. Verses 3, and there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and did what? And began to speak. Meaning the resultant effect of the Holy Ghost upon them was that they spoke. Hallelujah. Are you following me? The resultant effect of the Holy Ghost upon a man is that he will speak. And when they speak, they spoke in tongues. Let's look at chapter 4 quickly. Act of Apostles chapter 4. Remember when the Holy Ghost comes, they were filled, right? Look at chapter 4 verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaking. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And spoke the word of God with boldness. Meaning, the resultant effect of them being full of the Holy Ghost is that they spoke. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when you hear the word upon, it deals with an action. When you hear the Spirit came upon them, it deals with an action. So an action should be in mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I know yesterday we got to verses 17. We'll get there. We'll continue. We'll kick off from there. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, question. Act of Apostles chapter 2 will now be the fact that these brethren have put on power, right? Where did they put it from? From within. What has happened to them within? They were already born again, right? And we said when a man is born again, he receives the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit does not come after you are born again. If the Holy Spirit comes after you are born again, then you weren't born again. We're about to see something that happened in Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Now, we are going to take it from yesterday's meeting into today. Now, listen. We said Jesus told them and said, except one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except one be born of water that is the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, right? And he said, I said to you, you must be born again. He said, the wind blows, verse 8 of John chapter 3. Where it listed and we hear the sound thereof and can't tell where it comes and where it goes. He said, so is he that is born of the Spirit. Meaning to be born again is to be born of the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? To be born again means you are born of the Spirit. Now, when a man gets born again, he receives the Holy Ghost. Now, we say that Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, that Holy Ghost is life, eternal life, that Jesus will use spirit and life interchangeably. And we said Jesus didn't just start using that word in New Testament. We found Moses do the same, right? Moses will use life and spirit interchangeably, right? Was that what we saw? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He will give them the temple. He will show them. That is where God is in the temple. To show them what will happen to the man in Christ, right? He will also give them the sacrifice. To show them Jesus to be the sacrifice. And he will tell them to sprinkle blood. Blood will mean the resurrection. Blood will imply life. He will come back again. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. So Jesus will also use life and spirit together or interchangeably. The same with Paul. We're going to look at Paul later on. Hallelujah. You'll use life and spirit interchangeably. Meaning once a man is born again, he receives the Spirit of God, which is life. Right? That's what we said yesterday. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. So when I believe, I have life. When I believe, I'm a son. This is an unchangeable, undeniable truth about the believer. Hallelujah. So, let me just put it to you. We are discussing unchangeable and undeniable truth about the believer in this conversion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Undeniable truth about the believers. Undeniable. I'm a son forever. I have life forever. I have the Spirit of God forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He doesn't leave you. No. He's there forever. You are born again once. Once. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So now, remember, we said for a man to be born again, he has the Holy Ghost. So that means, out of Apostles chapter 2, there was no spirit jumping through the window to enter their head. No. You have to understand scriptures. Hallelujah. Remember what Luke is writing is a reporting line. And Luke is writing it in such a way that you would understand what he is saying. So he will employ figure of speech to make you know what really happened there. In chapter 4, he said the house where they were filled and the place was shaking. Can the bricks start shaking? No. But why will he write like that? So that you would see that there was actually a demonstration. Things were rumbling all around. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So, what happened? They took of what is available to them. Hallelujah. They took of what is available to them. They had the Spirit inward. They had the Spirit inside. Look at verse 17. I'm still doing introduction. I'm not going to enter what I'm teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, I've never entered. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 17. He says, what comes up from 16? And this is what was spoken of. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, and it shall come to pass in the last days. Where is he quoting from? He's quoting Joel. When he says it shall come to pass in the last days, he's not talking about the end of the world. No, the last days means the fulfillment of these things. He talks about the new birth. Says it shall come to pass in the last days. I will pour out. Take note of that word. Peter uses that word. Joel will say in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. But you know, Peter in writing says, I will pour out of my spirit. So what is Peter saying? Peter is saying, I will pour out of my spirit. Meaning it's a taking off. Are you following that? I will pour out of my spirit. Where is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is inward. He's in the believer. So what Peter is saying, that Joel said, I will take off the Holy Ghost within upon. And what is the result of that effect? He said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. They will speak. Hallelujah. I will take of the spirit within upon. When I will take of that which is available within, listen, it means I will take of that which is available from within. Hallelujah. I will take of that. I really don't want to say something now because I will still get there. Now he said, I will take of what is available within, what is available in the spirit upon. I will wear it. I will make it tangible. I will make it, do you understand? I will take of what is available in the spirit upon. So now what is available in the spirit? He said, your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Did you get that? Many prophecies are available in the spirit. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She is available in the spirit. Let's look at what Paul will say. We are still coming back to Acts. So, what is available in the spirit? Remember, he says, you will take of it. I want you to have these two scriptures running around your mind as we are teaching. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Let that word lambano be in your mind. Do you know what I mean? Lambano means to take of what you have available to you. Right? Okay. Look at Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then you have Luke 24:49. I said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now the promise of the Father upon will not be the Holy Ghost within. The promise of the Father upon will not be what? Let me know who is following me. The what? The taking of the Spirit within upon, right? Uh-huh. So that promise of my Father upon will be utterance. Are you hearing me? The promise of my Father upon will be what? Utterance. Will be that demonstration. Because it is upon. Right? So have those two words within. As we look at chapter 12. Verses 1. Of 1 Corinthians. It says, now concerning spirituals. Brethren. I do not want you to be ignorant.
Oh, you dwell here. Here.
Hallelujah. We dwell here for 4 months.
Right here. So,
there
are a lot of things to be seen. Hallelujah.
It says, concerning spirituals, I do not want you to be ignorant. Agnohil, meaning willful ignorance. Hallelujah. I don't want you to be ignorant. It said, you know, that you were Gentiles, carried away by dumb idols, wherever you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit called God, calls Jesus a curse. No one can say he's Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Remember, we have said earlier that the Holy Ghost lives where? In you. A man's first contact with the Spirit of God is when the gospel is preached, right? We've done that study and we'll still keep doing it. Hallelujah. So the gospel is called spiritual, right? It's called spirit. And the man who receives the gospel is called spiritual, right? Paul goes to chapter 3, verse 16, chapter 6, verse 19, and says, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Meaning when a man gets born again, he receives the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verses 12. He said, we'll receive not the Spirit that is of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know those things that are freely given to us of God. Say, which things will speak in the wisdom which, which will speak. Not in the wisdom in which man teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Or teaching, say, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. It then says in verses 4. Remember, he had just said, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Meaning the new birth, you being born again, is by the Holy Ghost. Why did he say so? Because he said, your first contact, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. He said, I came to you not with the excellency of speech. He said, declaring to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. He says,
My speech and my preaching, rather, was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and power. Meaning when, now what demonstration is, the word apodexis in the Greek. It means to shed light upon the surface. Meaning when the gospel is preached, that is the day you had a first contact with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit of God, in the preaching of the gospel. Now he now gets to chapter 12. Verse 3, and said, no one can say he is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the message you heard is by the Holy Ghost. Do you understand me? The message you receive is by the Holy Ghost. Do you understand me? It is spiritual. It's by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, you cannot say he is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry, we're going to still look at that study again. Hallelujah. Okay. Verses 4. He said there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. He uses the word diversities. Diversities means the same, different from the same. There are different diversities of gifts. Meaning there are, just let me put it like this. Permit me to use a mathematical word. Though not 100% correct, but it's correct. They are all subsets of the same superset. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? All the same. You have a pie chart. There are different charts, segments in the pie chart. But they are all inside the pie. Right?
Yes,
right? Yes, hallelujah. So, diversities will mean different of the same. Now, they say there are diversities of gifts. It brings in the word gift. That word gift is the Greek word charisma. Charisma means what is freely given that is yours. It's from the word charis. Charis means a free gift. Where we have the word grace from. It's the word that means free gift. Charis. Now when you use the word charisma, it means what is freely given that is yours. Hallelujah. So it said there are diversities of gifts, but the same spirit. Are you hearing me? When we get on discussing about concerning spiritual, we'll look at it from the Old Testament. So you see that Paul is writing from Moses. Right here, diversities of gifts. Paul is writing from Moses. He's writing temple reality. He had just told you, don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So he writes from Moses' temple and now writes the gift. Did you get it? So in Moses' temple, the gifts are kept in the temple. Are you hearing me? So he writes on Moses' temple. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. Amen. So he now writes now and said there are diversities of gifts. Where? In the spirit. Where is the spirit? In you. Get how Paul is writing. So there are diversities of gifts in the same spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, there are differences in ministry, but the same Lord. There are differences of activities, but the same God who works all in all. He then says, but the manifestation. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Phanerosis. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The manifestation of these things is given to everyone, say for the profit of all, meaning the gifts in the spirit. The manifestation of these things is for the profit of all. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Say, but to one. Now, he is now going ahead. Listen. That word charisma has to do with faculties. What is freely given that is yours? So he deals with faculties. So he now said, for to one. Now, it is only a man that is reading the scriptures with unbelief. I will say, hey, it's one person. No, you are missing it. He said, for to one, it talks about a faculty.
In fact, that word in the Greek that says for to one is actually the word that means for to all.
He talks about the faculty. Say for to one faculty is given, so he's listing the faculties in the spirit, the gift in the spirit.
Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. The word of wisdom through the spirit. For to another, the word of knowledge. Hallelujah. Through the same spirit. To another, faith. By the same spirit. Say to another, the gift of healing. By the same spirit. To another. Right? So can we change all those to another to be to all? Right? Say to all the workings of miracles, to all prophecy, to others the discerning of spirits, to others or to all different kinds of tongues, to others interpretation of tongues. Look at verse 11. It says, but one and same same spirit worketh all this. Meaning, what is he saying? All these things are in the spirit. Where is the Holy Ghost? Is in me. Glory to God. Work at all things. Say, distributing to each one according to him as he wills. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And we looked at that word and we said that word he wills. We have seen it from every scriptures and every part of the scripture to show that, you know, theologians now had their theologians are now saying there are two sets of theologians that are now saying, some are saying it means as they will, the recipient will, and some say no, it's at the spirit will. Hallelujah. But from the study of the scriptures, we discover that it's not as the spirit wills, it's as they will. Are you hearing me? Not as the spirit wills. No, that's not what Paul wrote. Paul said, as they will. Are you hearing me? As they will. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at how, why did we say so? Verse 12 into 13 will portray that. He said, for as the body is one and has many members, and all members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one spirit, or by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Where is the gift? In the spirit. So we are baptized into the spirit. If we say we receive the Holy Ghost and the gifts are in the Spirit, meaning when you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the gift. Right? Hallelujah. Are you following me? So Paul says that every believer can manifest the gift. Every believer. Because it is yours. It is called charisma. What is really given, that is yours. Who gave it in the Spirit is given by the Holy Ghost. And it is yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, it becomes spiritual darkness when you show somebody this scripture and the person now say,
you don't understand though, but you know, actually I believe that tongues are for some people. That shows darkness. Hallelujah. Well, you can see that everything is in the spirit. Are you hearing me? Everything is in the spirit. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he has given them to us. So when Peter now says, he's quoting from Joel, he says, I will pour out of my spirit. Now that pouring out of my spirit will be what? This gift in manifestation, right? Right? And there will be outward display of what? Joy. I want you to follow that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. These gifts are in the spirit. So you take it from the spirit. These gifts will be manifestations, right? And we saw that they prophesied. Right? Though Luke told us that they spoke in tongues, they prophesied. All chance was at work, right? Paul shows us that
the spoken tongues and the interpreters. Right? Was that what Paul showed us? That was what Paul did.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, let's begin to look at some other things quickly. I just did a little introduction to what I want to say. Just finished introduction. So, during the next few minutes, we'll round up. Okay.
Hey, watch, I wasn't looking at my notes. I just got to my notes now. Hallelujah. I just needed to say what I said. Okay. Now we are back to my notes. Act of Apostles, chapter number 2. Now we say Jesus is in the believer, right? Jesus lives in the believer. Oh, to be born again is to receive the Holy Ghost. That's what we've been saying. And when we receive the Holy Ghost, we receive the full package. Hallelujah, full package. Glory to God. So, any teaching will say that, and I want to say it again. Any teaching that shows Jesus outside the believer, any teaching that shows you that Jesus has left the world, is not the teaching of Christ. And I said I'm going to be very strong on that this year. Any teaching, you know, last year we were strong on the church is not a building, right? If you remember, I'm going to be strong on this one again this year. Hallelujah. Any teaching that points Jesus outside this world is not a teaching of Christ. Is heteros euangelion. It is another gospel. Are you hearing me? It's another gospel. It's foreign. Because the very words of Jesus makes us know that when he says, in my Father's house are many mansions, he wasn't referring to bricks and blocks in heaven. He wasn't referring to cement and Dangote cement in heaven. You can't be rich on the earth and not take it to heaven now. Calm down. Hallelujah. No, he wasn't referring to cement in heaven. When he said, my Father's house are many mansions. And I put this to some of us and to those who are English people. Do you have mansions inside house or house inside mansion? Choose one. They say, in my Father's house are many mansions. Hallelujah. So that defeats English. Hallelujah. So when you say, in my Father's house are many mansions, it talks about the fact that in my Father's house, that is the word mone, there are many rooms, a place where one stays to continue his work. That's what it is used for. A place where one stays to continue an assignment, a task. So you don't say, in my Father's house are many rooms. Say, if we're not so, I wouldn't have told you I go prepare a place for you. Now where I am, there you'll be also. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You read, and then he goes ahead. They asked him, okay, where did you say you are going? He said, have I been with you? Oh, sorry, he said, I go to the Father, right? That one, I go to the Father, I mean is death, burial, and resurrection. I'm reading from John chapter 14. They now asked him, okay, show us the Father is sufficient for us. He looked at him and said, Philip, have I been with you this long and you don't know the Father? He said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Hallelujah. How dare you say, show us the Father again? Glory to God. He gets to verse 16, he tells them, he said, I will go to the Father. I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, Alios Parakletos. He said, he will abide with you forever. He said, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Because neither sees him not knowing, but you know him, for he shall live, shall be with you. Shall be in you and shall be with you. Verse 18. He then says, I will not leave you orphans. Jesus is speaking. I will not leave you orphans. He says, I will come to you. He just tells us that the Holy Ghost is coming to us. He then said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And we said, Jesus will use the Holy Ghost not as another person. No, he will use the Holy Ghost to describe his work in the resurrection. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, I will come to you. In verse 20, he says, in that day. Right? John 14, 20. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 23. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will,
He will love me, you will keep my commandment. My Father will love him and will come and make our home. That word home is the word that is transcribed mansions in verses 2. That is the word home, mone. I will come and make our mone, our mansion in you. So you see that that word, I will go prepare a place for you, is actually the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Did you get that? The place, that word, in my Father's house are many mansions, is talking about Jesus is coming to live in your heart. Are you following me? He's coming to live in your heart. Undeniable truth about the believer is that he has the Spirit of God. He has life. Hallelujah. For him to have the Spirit of God, meaning he has the gifts in full, right? Undeniable truth. Undeniable fact about the believer. Glory to God. Undeniable. He's a son forever. Undeniable. He has God as a father. Not as a, as Obanla, as a father. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Undeniable fact. Matthew 28, verses 18. He said, Jesus came to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus is saying, I am with you always.
They didn't get off their sight.
How do you listen to what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. Now, in Matthew 27, let's just wind down to Matthew 27 fast. Because what we say in Matthew 27 will help us in Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 9. Matthew 27 verse 52. Matthew 27, are you there? Verse 52. Oh, I said 52. Okay. Should we go to 52? Should we? No, not now. Matthew 26. Matthew 26 verse 57. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembling. Were assembled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 61. And said, this fellow said, this is the accusation, I am able to destroy the temple of God, they are lying. And to build it in 3 days, they lied. And the high priest rose and said to them, do you answer nothing? What is it this man testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under an oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. This is why they killed him. Because of his attestation as the Son of God, as the Christ. Look at verse 64. And Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting in the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. What is Jesus talking about? What is Jesus talking about?
On the last day. On the last day, only two believers will be raptured. The last,
Jesus is not talking about last day.
On the last day, only two believers will be raptured.
Glory to God. How you wish. What is Jesus talking about? He said to Caiaphas. He says, after now, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. When he says right hand, those of you who have been around for our teaching meeting on understanding the gospel, what is the right hand of God? The right hand of God does not mean you get to heaven. You just see him stand on the right hand.
You will not be taking selfie with God, you know. This is my father, this is us. We are having family tree, you know. Holy Ghost, show your face now. No!
So when you get to heaven, you see a big throne, you see Jesus at the right hand, Holy Ghost at the left.
You're a joker. I think heaven is Nollywood.
It's not Nollywood, though. Glory to God. It's not. It's not. Say the Holy Ghost. When Jesus, when God called, who you going to save, man?
Holy Ghost, look at Jesus. Jesus, look at Holy Ghost. Say, Father, send me.
You just wake up from your slumber. And say no to African magic. Because that's the problem. But recently I discovered that there's African magic is learning. It's learning from Z word. Z word is where you find the most despicable things in this world. Two people are fighting. They are fighting her. Then you just say Jo Galaba. And everybody started singing, oh Shelly. And everybody was dancing together. We thought we were fighting. That is beyond magic. That is mental issues. Hallelujah. That is mental issues. So those of you who are watching Z-Watch, repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Hallelujah. But the one that surprised me, the one that I was watching Yoruba movie, I don't understand what they were saying. But I knew I was watching Yoruba movie. And I saw a ghost. I know it's powder I dropped. And the ghost was entering curtain. And I was opening the curtain. Ah! That was the height of it. That was the day I said, I'm not watching again. That year, I never knew I was going to get married to a Yoruba lady. Hallelujah. But they don't act Nollywood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, these days, if you talk anyhow about your family, I will fight you. They are talking about my in-laws. Pentecostal. Okay, let's continue. Okay. Glory to God. So that is Yoruba movie you are watching, and you are using your ezemo to replicate God. You know, some people still have that mindset. They watch too many African movies, and they now think the Bible, paper that they give those guys that smoke it to rap. They will rap their Igbo well. In fact, they will go to Psalms 23 and cut it and rap it well.
And they are smoking their hair well. Hallelujah.
They will turn the Bible to Rizla. They will rap it well. You say, Pastor, how do you know this thing?
Calm down. Hallelujah.
They will smoke it well. Hallelujah. Now, you know, because of too many Nollywood, you now use your Bible. Now think your Bible is the weapon of warfare. Wake up from your slumber. You see some people in the night, when you're supposed to be sleeping well. Say, I'm going for BG. It's too many Nollywood. Wake up from your slumber. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not like that here. Hallelujah. We know beyond that. Glory to God. Okay. Okay, let's go ahead. So, the right hand of God is not a chair and a... Okay. Let me now give you people something. Then you now see cherubims and seraphims on top and within. Yeah. Calm down. Hallelujah. Calm down. I taught you. So I'm using Cana for your reason. Right? Glory to God. So, when you hear the right hand of God, it's not actually a place or a sitting position. The right hand of God is, if you look at how the word right hand is used in scriptures, is used to show God's display of power. That's the right hand of God. God's display of power is a figure of speech used to display or to show a display of power.
You understand me? The right hand. When you hear the right hand of God is where God displayed his power. And where did God display his power? The display of God's power is in the believer.
That is the display of God's power in the believer. God's power is displayed in the believer. So the right hand of God will be where Christ is sitting. And where is Christ sitting? In the believer. Right? So the right hand of God is the believer. God's display of power is in the believer.
So now let's now see what is Jesus saying to Cephas. He said, "Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting in the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Another word is placed again: clouds, heaven.
He says, "You will see the Son of Man sitting in the what? Right hand of power." Right?
Right? The right hand of power and coming. That is. That's the word. That is. Coming in the clouds of heaven. Heaven will represent what? The man in Christ. The cloud. We're going to look at clouds shortly. Hallelujah. So he's telling Cephas, this will be a resurrection reality. You will see it in the resurrection, that the Son of Man will come with what? The Son of Man will be seated in the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. You will see it and you will not be able to stop it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles chapter 1. We want to clear something else. Something here. Hallelujah. Before we get to chapter 1, Luke 24, before we get to Acts. Luke 24, verses 51. What happened verse 50? After he had told them to be endued with power from on high, verse 50 now said, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now, listen to this very well. Verse 52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Why did they rejoice back? Because they've seen that he was in them. In Matthew 28, he said, "Lo, I am with you always. I've commanded you, I've come to you." So when they saw that passing away physically, they knew the interpretation. The interpretation is not he has left yet, no. No, if not, they would have still been sorrowful. Remember, they were sorrowful when he died. They would have still been sorrowful. But what is the difference now? When he died, they were sorrowful. Right? He came back, spoke to them, and he was parted from them. And they were no longer sorrowful. What happened? Now they can now see something. Now they can now see that what he told them, that he was going to live in them, is actually in reality. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, some people will say, "But sir, what are you trying to say? Wait, calm down. We're just doing a torchlight." Acts 1:9. From verse 8, he says, "You shall receive power that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Then one angel now came. That's very funny. Remember, he's an eyewitness account. So, now angels, right? The angel now said, two men, what happened in verse 11? I say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you've taken up, I mean, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come like in like manner as you saw him go into the heaven." So they say, "Hey, he's coming back again, Jesus." You see yourself? Who said it? Angels. Are you dancing? Angels. Now, everybody is quiet. Because you people want me to say something.
Okay, I'm going to say something. Hallelujah. We're going to take note of some words. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. First of all, that word angels. You don't see angels are not have not been committed the words of salvation were not committed to angels. So they know nothing about salvation.
Are you hearing me?
Angels know nothing about angels know nothing
about the resurrected Christ.
Hallelujah. We will have the ministry of angels. We have that teaching, angelic ministry. But before we ever look at that teaching, let me just show you something from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. 1 Peter 1, 12. I'll start from verse 10. No, verse 9. No, verse 8. Okay, let's look at one more thing.
Is this now? Whom have you not seen, you believe.
1 Peter 1, 8.
Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Did you see that? Salvation of your soul. Of this salvation, the prophet have inquired and searched fully. Who prophesied of the grace that would come to you? Right?
The prophet searched and they prophesied about this grace. Did they see it? In their days, did they see it? No. But they prophesied concerning it, right? Okay, verse 11. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of God who was with them or in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that should follow. Meaning the resurrection, right? The glories will be ours. Now, to them, it was revealed that... to them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who has preached the gospel to you by the Holy Ghost sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Angels do what? What are those things? Salvation. Angels do what? Desire to look into. That word look into is the word parakluto in the Greek. Parakluto. It means to do this. Let me just give you a physical expression of what that word is. Like somebody is here. Para means beside, right? Right? To look beside. To look at something beside. So they look into it's just something like this. You know when you do giraffe in the school? Those of you who are experts in giraffe, that is it. You are giraffing. So they look into it. They are standing away from it. They are not in it, but they are trying to peep. That's the word. They are peeping into it. Are you hearing me? They are trying to look into salvation. So angels are not committed with the word of salvation. They're not committed with the gospel of salvation. Are you hearing me? They can say things around it to the knowledge that they have, but they are not committed with such message. They cannot preach the gospel. Are you hearing me? Angels cannot. So Peter said they search, they eager to see this thing, to look into it. They eager to peep to see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's go back to Acts 1. So what will this angel be communicating? Acts 1 verses 10. First of all, when the angel said he will come in like manner, just know that angels didn't actually, you cannot hold the words of angel and now place it, I want to use it for doctrine and start up a church. You build a church on water. You understand? So you can hold on to that. Because Jesus had said, I will be with you forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But let's see something. When he said he was taken up in a cloud, he was received up in a cloud. In a cloud. That word cloud. Now, I wanted us to look at it when we spoke about cloud in Matthew 26, right? Now, you are here. That word cloud is the word nephele. N-E-P-H-E-L-E, nephele, in the Greek. A word you find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 into 2. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 into 2. He says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that the fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. When Paul uses the word cloud, they were all baptized into Moses. That word baptized means they were all identified into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. He refers to a gathering. Do you understand me? To a gathering. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, is used for 2 Peter 2, 17. He's referring to the false teachers, and he says these are wells without water, that is cloud carried by tempest, from whom it is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. So he's referring here to what? False preachers. Are you with me? Are you with me? He's referring to what? False preachers. So he calls the faith of false preachers together as clouds. So, false preachers together, you refer to them as what? As cloud. So, it talks about also a gathering, right? Hallelujah. Together. Are you following me? In Jude chapter 12. Sorry, I skipped the scripture when I was talking to us about angels. That would be Hebrews. It said, they are ministering spirits sent to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. I skipped that. But we'll look at that later. Hallelujah. I skipped that. Hallelujah. Okay. 2 Peter, right? I said. Okay, Jude, sorry, thank you. Jude 12. He said, these are the spots in your feast, in your love feast, in your charity. Why they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves? They are clouds without water. Did you see that? He referred to those sets of people, he called them clouds without water, carried about by the wind, lit unturned trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled by Israel. So it refers to a gathering, right? The spot in their feast, referring to individuals, and he called those set of people, called them cloud. So it refers to those gathering of those people, we call them cloud. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You find it also in Matthew 24, verse 30. Matthew 24, verse 30. When the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the trees of the earth will mourn, they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. So they will see him coming from heaven with power and great glory. He's not talking about rapture, no. Do you understand me? With power and great glory. Glory to God. He's talking about post-resurrection reality. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. Let's see something quickly. So when Jesus, or when the book of Acts, when Luke says he was received by a cloud of witness,
or was received in a cloud of witness. So we've seen that that word cloud refers to people, right? When cloud is mentioned, people are, is referring to people. Whether those who are false teachers, just and truth, refers to people, right? So when he said it was received in a cloud of glory, it refers to people. So it was received in a cloud of glory. Which people are those? Matthew helps us see it in Matthew 27 verse 52. That when Jesus died, the grave was opened, and he talks about some saints, right? Those saints that rose and appeared to people in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And they saw them. Hallelujah. Now, those will now form the cloud. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. B.W. Kenyon will say, those are the cloud of witness. Are you hearing me? B.W. Kenyon said, those are the cloud of witness. So, he was received in a cloud. Will now be, he was received in that, in those brethren. Are you hearing me? You know, we can call them brethren now. We can call them brethren now because they are made perfect by us. Hallelujah. By the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So they are made perfect. Now, by those brethren, are you hearing me? We can now call them, he was received by those brethren. So, what I believe Luke was trying to make us see, what Luke was trying to make us see is the fact that carried into the clouds, in the clouds, meaning that Jesus will be found in those clouds. The cloud will be men, right? It will not be a figure or a figurative expression of what has happened to the man in Christ. You remember those guys are now being made perfect. Hebrews chapter 12. To just men made, now made perfect, right? And they're now made perfect, and Jesus was found in them. Are you hearing me? So it will not be a figure of what has happened to the man in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Very important. Very, very important. So, we got to this point because of the fact that we're explaining the fact that he is in the believer. He didn't check out. But sir, are you trying to say there is no rapture?
On the last day, only two believers will be raptured.
Are you saying there's no rapture?
Well, there's no word for rapture in the scriptures. There's no Greek word for rapture in the scriptures.
Can we continue? Hallelujah. I said we'll have time to talk about eschatology. That would be in few years time. So don't expect it today.
Just understand what you have now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't expect it today, don't expect it tomorrow. Just relax.
We'll get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The same way Paul Shaw will say we will not talk about Trinity until he gets to what age.
Hallelujah.
So, but we'll talk about it. We'll discuss it very soon. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there is no teaching in the scriptures, even by Paul, when he said there will be believers that will be raptured from the earth. Even by Paul. I know some people will quote 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's not go there. Hallelujah. Because that was not what Paul was communicating about that you thought. Are you hearing me? So, what you will do is read 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1 and read it to the end. And come back and tell you still have such notion. I can't tell you to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That 15 itself, go read from verse 1 to the end. And come back. Read it well, digest it well. Come back and tell me. Or you get to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Read it well. Come back and talk to me and tell me
I thought. You only be say, ah, so this thing is like this. Hallelujah. It's just because most times we don't have time to read our Bibles. Some people are just too hasty to read their Bibles. No, don't read your Bible that way. Are you hearing me? Don't read your Bible that way.
Glory to God.
So there's no message from the apostles that said Jesus left the earth. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. There's no message from the apostles too that said you will see him in the sky and people will disappear and call it 15th dimension.
No. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? No.
There's nothing like that.
So what is there? You get to know. Hallelujah.
Then let's look at Hebrews quickly. So we're talking about Jesus in the believer, right? Jesus in the believer. Truth, undeniable fact about the believer is that Jesus is there with the believer forever. Undeniable. Jesus is in the believer forever. Hallelujah. So we are identified with him in the new birth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Let's look at something quickly. Verse 6. He said, when he brings in the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels worship him. Let all the angels of God worship him. You see? Now he says, when he brings in his firstborn, now he calls him the firstborn. John 1 verse 14, he calls him the only begotten. In the new birth, I mean, in the resurrection, he is called the firstborn. That is the Greek word prototokos. Prototokos. Hebrews 1 verse 6. Prototokos. It means Jesus is the model. Jesus models for us what the believer's life would be or should be. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Jesus models for us what the believer's life should be. And when you go get to read Hebrews chapter 1 into chapter 2, you discover the servanthood of Jesus. His servanthood. In Matthew now, okay, hallelujah. When James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came with their mother to plead for position. Let one of my sons sit at your right, the other at your left. Matthew 20:20. Jesus said something to them in verse 26. He said, let this shall not be so among you. Whosoever desires to be the great, desire to be great among you, let him be your servant. Whosoever desires to be the first among you, let him be your slave. The word slave is the word for one who is a slave. Someone who is hired to work. A slave. So if someone wants to be the great, let him be the slave. Let him be the least. Let him be your slave. Let him be your servant. You see, but in the word, the ruler's lord over you. That would be verse 19. I mean verses 25. He said, but he shall not be so amongst you. He that wants to be the greatest, let him be your servant. So being his servant who becomes our ministry. He becomes our ministry. We become servant for the gospel's sake. Are you hearing me? We become servant for the gospel. Glory to God. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Become servant. And when I get to Hebrews chapter 1, I will see the servanthood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, into I will see his servanthood. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. So, Jesus will not just be
Remember, he's our prototokos, he's our model child, right? He's our model for the believer's life, for the believer's work, right? He is also is the model son. Jesus is the model son, and he is the model servant. He is the model servant. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Look at verse 8. But to the son he says, hallelujah. Your throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. He uses that word. The Lord has anointed thee with the oil of God of gladness above your companions. Where is the writer of Hebrews quoting from? He's quoting from Psalms 45 verse 7. Let's go to Psalms 45 verse 7. We'll begin to round up very soon. Psalms 45 verse 7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, it says, you love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. When the word for gladness in the Hebrew is the word shoson or soson. That sounds like China.
Well, that is Sosone. Sosone. S-A-W-S-O-N-E.
A word you will find in Psalms 1 verse 8. I need you to look at this with me. Psalms 1 verse 8. I mean Psalms 51 verse 8, sorry. Psalms 51 verse 8. I want us to move together fast. Psalm 51 verse 8, it says, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Look at verse 12. Give to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. The King James will say, restore, right? That's what, give to me the joy of your salvation, and restore to me. And uphold me by the generosity or by the generous spirit. 105, Psalms 105, verse 43. He said, he brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness. That's the word joy. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen one with gladness. You find it also in Psalms 119, verse 111. You find it in Isaiah chapter 12, verses 3. That word sosone, Isaiah 12, verses 3. I'd like to read that. Verses 3. He said, therefore, with joy you will draw waters from the well of salvation. Please take note of this. You draw waters from the well of salvation, said with joy. Isaiah 51 verses 3 and verses 11. Isaiah 51, 3, 11. The Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hallelujah. Verse 11. He says, So the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their head. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and singing shall flee away. Tells you some things that I'm going to talk about Isaiah 61 verse 3. So this word joy that we've seen, so sunny, that we've seen in Psalms and Isaiah, it's woven around salvation path. It's woven around salvation path. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9. He said, the Lord thy God has anointed you, right, with oil of gladness more than your companions. He's talking about the ministry of Jesus. He's talking about the ministry of Jesus. That word to anoint is the Greek word kairo. Or ikairo.
To sound like.
But kairo, C-H-I. Okay, no. C-H-R-I-O. Creo. Creo. Sorry, Creo. C-H-R-I-O. And this word, Creo, that word anoint, Creo, is only used for Jesus. Only Jesus. Are you hearing me? Say, oh, anointed man of God. The anointing, the chiro rest on your head. That word chiro is only used for Jesus. Luke 4 verse 18. Luke 4 verse 18. Remember we say we are sons forever. Right? The Spirit of God is in us forever. Undeniable truth, right? We have life forever, right? Let's see something else. That's what we are looking at. Hallelujah. What are we forever? Luke 4:18. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus is speaking, because he has anointed me. That's the word, anointed me, to preach the gospel to the poor. So the anointing, the creo here is for what? Service. Are you hearing me? The anointing is for what? Service. Who was anointed? Me or Jesus? Jesus. Are you hearing me? So you don't use anointed for a believer. You use it for the Lord. So those of you who went to change your name to anointed whatever on Facebook. I said nothing. Did I say anything? I said nothing. Your pastor is changing his name. You are putting your name. Glory to God. And we had that teaching last year. I thought when I was done teaching it, when I changed it, he said another pastor added anointing. I said, ah. Glory to God. I decided not to remove anointed from my name on Facebook. I'm lying. Okay. I decided not to remove my name anointed from Facebook. I was done teaching that topic. Now you will see the reason why I removed it. In fact, I was done with that topic. That was the first thing I did in this venue. Just remove it. And some people, as I was removing it, some minutes I just said, I know it's a cap. I said, ah, this is anointing. Hallelujah. Oh, dear Jesus. Okay, let's come back. So, for Jesus, right? Acts 4:27. Let's go to Acts 4:27. Acts 4:27. Are you there? For truly, against your holy servants, this is their prayer. Now, for truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, are gathered together. Did you see that? Whom did he anoint? Jesus. You will never find Peter say, I'm an anointed minister. My name is anointed Peter. My name is anointed Paul. No. My name is anointed James Zebedee. No.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. No, you wouldn't find that. Are you following me? Hope you are following me. Okay. We find it again in
chapter 10, verse 38. We know that we can chorus that. How the Lord anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost. Eh? And we what? No.
How the Lord anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost. Mm-mm. No, don't read scriptures like that. I'm reading scriptures to you. How the Lord anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost. Now he said, and with power he went about.
Do you understand me?
How the Lord anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost, and with power he went about. Are you hearing me?
Glory to God. Are you hearing me? Glory to God.
So how the Lord anointed Jesus. So who was anointed? Paul, Peter, James, Andrew, Jesus. Which one?
Jesus.
Okay. Lastly, now this is where a lot of people get it twisted. Second Corinthians. A lot of people get it twisted here. Second Corinthians. We've done this study before, but we'll do it again. Chapter 1, verse 21. So now he who establishes us with you in Christ Jesus has anointed us is God. You say, hey, he has anointed us now. He who establishes you with the Lord Jesus has anointed us is God. So we are anointed. Right? Right? They are written upside down. Look at him doing it. There's actually a syntax error here. Hallelujah. There's a syntax error here that needs to be corrected. Hallelujah. It's actually from the Greek. What it reads is this. Now he who establishes you with us in Christ the anointed is God. So that's the syntax error. That's how it's read in the Greek. So now he who establishes you with us in Christ the anointed. Do you understand me? He who establishes you with us is Christ the anointed. So a syntax error is when the sentence is not properly arranged. Do you understand me? So it's actually he who establishes you with us. Yeah? Is Christ the anointed. So is Christ the anointed. Not he who has anointed us. No, it's Christ the anointed. Do you understand? So that anointed or that creo is used for Christ. And we're in his ministry. In his ministry, right? Or how do I put it as for? In his service. Hallelujah. So you now find it in Hebrews 1:9. See, he has anointed him, right? With the oil of gladness. Right? The oil of gladness. Now, that word anoint, creo, is used to what? Okay. Anoint you with the oil of gladness. Let's look at that word gladness. The word gladness is the Greek word agelisis. Agelisis. It is used in Jude 24. Acts 2:46, Luke 1:14-44 is a word that implies wild joy. Meaning, in the service of Christ, he does it with what? Joy. It's the word agelisis, wild joy. Hallelujah. Remember, Jesus is our model servant. And we've been called to serve. So an undeniable truth about the believer is that he is a servant forever. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing a glory? Hallelujah. He's a servant forever. He's a servant forever. And how does Jesus carry out his servanthood? He says with gladness. Agelisis, wild joy, exuberant joy. That's the word agelisis from the word agalio. Who have the word agalio? Agalio. Agalio, the word agalio now also have a root word. So we need to get to know the root word to know what agelisis is. So agalio is a compound word.
Agan and Halomar. Agan and Halomar. Agan, A-G-A-N. Halomar is H-A-L-L-O-M-A-R. Halomar. The word Agan means much.
Are you hearing me? The word Hagan means much. Hagan. A-G-A-N
means much.
Now the word Halomar is the word you find in Acts of Apostles chapter 3 verse 8.
When Peter looked at the man at the gate of Beautiful and said, in the name of Jesus, come up and walk.
And he held the man by hand and dragged him up. The Bible said the man leaped. Right? Leap. That's the word to leap.
Are you hearing me? That's the word to leap.
It's used also in Acts 14 verse 10 for one who is lame and is walking. So that word Halomai is used for one who is learning to walk. Do you understand me? One who is learning to walk. The way they will leap. You know, they are trying to get their step. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So Agan added to Halomai will now be much leaping. Are you hearing me? Much leaping. You know? Uncoordinated. Hallelujah. Uncoordinated. Now meaning the ministry of Christ is carried out with joyfulness. The servanthood of Christ is carried out with joyfulness. And he said, he is the model servant to us. He is the prototokos. He is our model. The one whom we follow. He is the model son. He is the model servant. And he tells us how his service is carried out with joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Meaning I'm doing something in the church. I'm carrying out a service for brethren. I'm preaching the gospel as a service. Hallelujah. He says with joy. Glory to God. That is our ministry, is with joy. So the believer must be with joy always. Joy is a constant in the life of a believer. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory to God. So the ministry of Christ is carried out with joy, with agalio. Agalio, we just say, needs much joy, exuberant joy, wild joy. And there's an expression to agalio. What is the expression? He said, like one who is leaping. Hallelujah. It is catching on the leg in an uncoordinated manner. It's called agalio. And that is how the ministry of Christ is carried out. With joy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Meaning this joy is not determined by man. No. No, glory to God. It's not determined by economic situation. It's not determined by account details. It's not determined by who likes and who doesn't like you. No. Hallelujah. When a believer hears that someone is born again, you don't just say,
So he's even born again there. What you know, go see? Even one day we'll go even see so and say inside heaven.
You know, some people can just talk loosely. Some people talk loosely. A believer doesn't talk loosely. You don't talk loosely. Just talk anything. Uncensored words. Uncensored mouth. You just talk. Radio without battery. A moving chair without brake. Just talk anything. No. The believer's life is not like that. You hear with a brother or a sister. Someone who just gave his life. I mean, who just received salvation. You should rejoice. Are you hearing me? You're going out to preach the gospel. And your face is like one who has carried both Mushi Market and Oshodi Market. You've carried it.
Everybody know.
No, it's a joy, brothers and sisters. Because you've come with the good news. Hallelujah. You've come with the good news. You are a messenger of the good news. Hallelujah. You've come with a good message. A message that carries forgiveness of sins.
Oh, hallelujah. A message that when the one who listens receives, he's trusting them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That is what you call it. Are you hearing me? That's what you call it. So you just rejoice over it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So the ministry of Christ is carried out by us. And is carried out with what? With great joy. We'll continue on this topic during our workers' convention. Hallelujah. We'll just flow from here. Hallelujah. With great joy. With great joy. I hear me. That's how the ministry of Christ is carried out. With joy. I hear me. It's a joy. You are born again. Hallelujah. I will live for him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, hallelujah. So it's with joy. It's with joy that will carry out the ministry of our Lord Jesus. With joy. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. We rejoice always. Because it's the character of our spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me show you something quickly. In Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. Verse 17.